Thank you. You have forever been our guide and guardian. When we are enslaved by the forces of evil, you liberate us from bondage and remove the stain of our disgrace. When we pray to you in times of trouble and seek refuge in your strong embrace, you come to us with songs of rescue. When we follow the desires of our worst selves and wander far from you, you welcome us home with open arms. When we need your wholeness and goodness, you remove our sin and reconcile us to yourself. Feed us again with your presence and grace, and reshape us into new creations in Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to our time of praise and worship music, and it will be projected as well. This little vase I'm going to pass it, you guys can see it. It came from Israel, and it's not well, it's not perfect. When I set it down here, you'll see that it's crooked, but it's still a beautiful thing. And that is what I want you guys to take from this message, that even though we're not perfect, we make mistakes and we sin. Like this little imperfect vase, God makes things beautiful. And he does it if we come to him and ask for forgiveness. And with that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for these young people here, Lord. And I know that they have hard jobs living out in the world and being among other kids. So, Lord, I ask that you guide them, give them your strength and your protection, and help them be your vessels in the world, just like this little clay pot. In your name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. I think Miss Monica's going to Sunday school with you guys. Sickness in the church. Most of these requests are for health concerns, people that have passed from cancer. Joe Augusta is a friend of one of the parishioners, and he is hospitalized in Michigan. Continue prayers for lung cancer, for Phyllis Carpenter, who's going through treatments. And caregivers as well have been lifted up. It's hard to be a caregiver because it's 24/7. So if you guys can keep all the people that take care of the critically ill or the chronically ill in your prayers, that would be great. There's also a prayer request for a group that's down here from Orlando that are here for a missions group. They are going to be doing fellowship and snacks today. So we thank them for being here, and we ask for prayers in their mission work. We have a friend in another church named Kevin Howard, who has been dealing with very serious side effects after heart surgery. In fact, he's in a coma, and he's coming out of the coma. So that is a big rejoicing, and just continue to keep you prayed up. And Ruthie, I lift you up my prayers. Ruthie lost her beloved dog, and there are those of us in this congregation who have lost pets, so my heart goes out to you, and we're praying for your comfort. We are also thanking the Lord that Gary Simmons came through his oral surgery really well. Gary, you look amazing. He's back there. And you guys would also pray for the family of Dixie Epstein, who passed away this week. She had cancer and has gone home to be with the Lord. Just keep her family prayed up. And lastly, let's pray for the guys that are coming back from their retreat and that they have safe passage. And right now they're doing their own service, so keep praying that the Lord reveals himself to them in a really powerful and intimate way. I know there's many prayer requests that are in your hearts that you all have not written down or have voiced, but I know God hears you praying. So I know that those are before the cross. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are a wonderful dad that we can come to in need, in praise, in comfort, in fear, and that you never, ever let us go. Lord, you've heard the things that we have lifted up, and we lay them at your cross, Father, and we ask now that we just let it go and let you take care of things, and we say this with complete and total trust as your children, and together we pray. Our Father, our Father, come on.
always with me, and everything I have is yours. God has come to us in Christ, made us new, and reconciled us with God. Now we offer all that we have, all that we are, to our God who has redeemed us. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our offering?
Thank you.
when he knew I was going to be doing this message, as always, I leave everything up to him because he knows the music God tells him what to prepare, and that was just perfect for what I'm going to share with you. Please stand if you are able to read of the Lord's holy word. It's also going to be correct. Starting with the parable of the lost son. Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger one told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, that's the part I really like, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf that we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. And moving on to Titus 3:3-7. I would like if you all would read it with me, because it's a very powerful small verse.
Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life.
Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for your word, for your word is what guides us in this life, Lord. And Father, right now I turn this all over to you, and I ask that you be here powerfully and that you deliver this message, Lord. Please let the people hear it as you want it heard, Father, and let us give you all the glory. And so your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I love the parable of the prodigal son. I can so readily identify with him in every part of the story. From the guilt of hurting his dad, through the loneliness and despair of being apart from his home, and the shame that made him feel that he was not worthy of redemption, to finally experiencing the joy and the relief of grace that was extended by his father. He must have felt like a huge weight was lifted off of his shoulders. How priceless and precious is the gift of grace through forgiveness. Forgiveness is a two-sided journey, though. First, when we extend forgiveness, it frees us from hurt and brings us blessings from God and gratitude from the one who hurt us. Secondly, when we ask for forgiveness, it redeems us from being lost and apart from God, and it frees us to receive God's mercy. When we choose to forgive someone, we are submitting ourselves to God's will and acting in complete obedience to Him. This process is not easy and can only be accomplished with God's complete involvement and intervention. It is to totally trust God to be the one to bring healing to the situation. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, we are instructed to not let bitterness poison our hearts and keep us from extending God's grace to others. Because God forgives us, we can forgive others. It is His calling on our lives to forgive. It aligns us with God, and it keeps us in right relationship with Him. Obedience to God allows us to forgive others by His example through Jesus Christ. What seems impossible and senseless to the world is accomplished only through God. This journey, though, can take days, months, years, or even a lifetime. We need to completely immerse ourselves in prayer and ask for God's help. When we finally and totally rely on God, He equips us to see the person who hurt us through the eyes of grace and through a heart filled with compassion. It allows us to forgive and finally be set free. God takes that bitterness away, my friends, and He replaces it with love. Being forgiven, though, involves the following steps. First of all, you have to recognize your sin. We have to take accountability for what we've done. Jesus used the parable of the prodigal to emphasize this. In verse 7, it states, "When he finally came to his senses." This was the prodigal's first step in repentance, admitting that he'd done something wrong. Number two, we have to confess our sin. It needs to be said out loud, first to God, and then face to face with the one that we have hurt. The prodigal admits his wrongdoing to his father in verse 21. Number three, forgiveness, receiving forgiveness. This is the most humbling and powerful experience of God's grace. How amazing is it that Jesus would die for us just so we could be cleaned and restored? That's grace unmerited. We don't deserve it. A good friend of mine uses this acronym forgive for grace. G-R-A-C-E, which is God redeems at Christ's expense. God redeems at Christ's expense. Sums it all up. Number four, experiencing joy. In Titus 3, verse 7, we know that because of what God did for us through Jesus Christ, we are assured of being heirs of heaven, living eternally with our Abba. If this doesn't put a huge smile on your face, I don't know what else will. Seeking forgiveness frees you to receive God's mercy. Showing mercy by having a forgiving spirit brings blessings from God and gratitude from the one being forgiven. They work side by side. I am blessed and forever changed by being the recipient of this gift called forgiveness. 14 years ago, I found myself at one of the lowest points in my life. After choosing to have an affair that led to the end of my marriage, I found myself in the dark grip of deep depression. At the recommendation of my doctor, I checked myself into St. Mary's Institute for Mental Health, and what I did not realize at the time was that I had had a nervous breakdown. I was placed on suicide watch for my own protection because feeling totally worthless had changed my reasoning into a dark and dangerous direction. During the 2 weeks of my stay there, and in the year and a half of therapy that followed, God and I did a lot of time together. It was during this period that I asked our Lord to forgive me and to enter my heart and let me have that personal one-on-one relationship with Him. I remember pouring out my heart to Him and sobbing, and then feeling such a calming peace come over me. I knew without a doubt in that moment that God had forgiven me, but I also knew that my journey had just begun. You see, God was very clear in letting me know that I had to face the ones that I had hurt and ask for their forgiveness. Ouch. It would take me a year to work up the courage and the obedience to God to call my ex-husband and ask him to meet me at work. As my words mixed with tears, my ex took my hands and said that even though he was not there yet on that road to forgiveness, he would pray about it and ask the Lord for his help to eventually get there. My next step came another year later after praying constantly for God's courage. My former sister-in-law and I had been very close before the divorce, more sisters than in-laws. So I knew that I had deeply wounded her, and I watched our relationship completely deteriorate. We both were very active in our Emmaus community, so God, in His infinite wisdom, had our paths crossed many times as He worked on both of our hearts. During an evening chapel service in Emmaus, our Lord held me tightly as He prompted me and gave me the courage to kneel before my shocked sister-in-law and asked her to forgive me. We cried and talked long into the night as she poured out her broken heart and told me that yes, I had hurt her so badly, but that she would pray, and with God's help, she felt one day she would be able to forgive me. For her, it was a journey that had to be done hand in hand with the Lord and only in His time frame. Because she trusted God to do the impossible, she was finally able to look me in the eyes as we held hands and say, I forgive you and I love you. She extended God's grace and mercy to me the day that she forgave me. She was Jesus with skin on, and she freed us both from the weight of unforgiveness. She may not be my sister-in-law anymore, but she is my sister in Christ, who I dearly love. And she's sitting in the front row, supporting me and praying me up as we speak. For me, the journey of healing allowed my old self to die as my relationship with Jesus deepened into a personal one. Jesus stretched me in this time of learning and growth as He and I spent a lot of time in that valley together. But I was reborn, and my Lord and Savior washed me clean and redeemed me. When I was preparing this message, God pressed upon my heart how true the rebirth process is. In Titus, we were once lost, but God cleaned and claimed us as His own through Jesus Christ. God did the hard work for us. God is in the cleaning and restoration business for sure. How else would He have been able to clean me up and make me a pastor's wife? Yeah, that's tough. Amen. Yes. Being in right relationship with the Lord is vital in order to be in communication with Him. His restoration allowed me to feel His mercy and to know that I have worth and I am loved by Him. I am His daughter. This process also deepened my prayer life. My day does not start until I have spent quality time with my Heavenly Daddy. My feet don't touch the floor until I pray every morning. I pray daily for my hubby, for our marriage, and I ask the Lord to walk smack in the middle of our marriage between the two of us to keep us safe and strong, and most importantly, connected to Him. It is a practice that I encourage all of you to do, not just with your spouses, but with your family and for your friends. Prayer is powerful. And the enemy cannot get through prayer. He wants us to fail, Satan does, and be separated from God. Satan hates holy marriage, and he will do anything to destroy them. Being in constant communication with the Lord protects us against worldly things and arms us against the evil one. If we give God the reins in our life, fear can't overtake us. When my hubby asked me to pray about speaking before you, fear immediately overtook me. As many of you know out there, and I've shared with you this little piece, is that I am terrified of public speaking. It is my biggest challenge. And God has a huge sense of humor because he likes to do this. I shared my feelings of fear with my co-worker, Ada. She's a very devout Christian. She very firmly told me that I needed to get over this fear right away because fear comes from the enemy. She was so emphatic about this that she immediately asked for the date that I would be standing before all of you. Once I told her the date, she said to me, "I feel really strongly the prompting of the Holy Spirit to look up my devotion for that day." She does a daily devotion called Jesus Calling. I don't know if any of you do know it. It's a great devotion. So she read this passage for me from March 6th. And as she read it, I felt the Lord speaking directly to me. Here's what it says. "Continue on this path with me, enjoying my presence, even in adversity. I am always before you, as well as alongside you. See me beckoning to you, come, follow me. The one who goes ahead of you, opening up the way, is the same one who stays close and never lets go of your hand. I am not subject to limitations of time or space. I am everywhere at every time, ceaselessly working on your behalf. That is why your best efforts are trusting me and living close to me."
Amen.
Amen. Our Lord can be very loud and clear when he wants us to step out in faith, as I am doing today. I, for one, am very glad he is loud, because I tend to be like Moses, and I need every burning bush that I can get. This final point is what I would like to leave you with today. Take this home with you if you would. Forgiveness is two-sided. It frees the forgiver of bitterness, replaced by love. It frees the forgiven to receive God's grace. Ephesians 4:32 summarizes forgiveness perfectly. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. There is a song by Matthew West called Forgiveness that we are going to listen to. The lyrics will also be projected. Please listen closely and let the words fill your heart wherever you might find yourself in this process of grace and forgiveness. As always, the altar is open for you, and God is not stepping in where he's always there. Gary, if you would.
Free.
It'll clear the bitterness away, even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
Thank you.
benediction books. Father God, I thank you for each person here, Lord, for their prayers. I know many lifted me up. And Lord, I thank you for their loving hearts. And Father, I ask that you be with us this week and give us the opportunity, a loud sign from you, Lord, to bring healing and love to someone that you place in our path. Please watch over us as we are back together again. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Good idea.